Welcome to Generation Justice, broadcasting from the University of New Mexico, 89.9 KUNM and KUNM.org. I'm your host, Christina Rodriguez.
And I'm your co-host, Danny Kessner. Generation Justice is a multimedia project aimed at youth to create media that is committed to social change.
On Saturday, September 6th, the Southwest Organizing Project hosted a youth forum about the school-to-prison pipeline.
The school-to-prison pipeline refers to the trend of public school students becoming isolated, punished, and funneled into juvenile and criminal justice systems.
This is a problem that exists everywhere in our nation. It is crucial that our community can discuss these issues in order to change these trends and to create better educational institutions.
Generation Justice had the opportunity to attend the forum where we heard personal stories of students. We also heard proposed solutions that were brainstormed by youth, parents, teachers, and elected officials. We will share those with you tonight.
But first, here's a song called U-Bell by Klingon.
Up next is the MC for the event, Amanda Gallegos, a Southwest Organizing Project intern. She will be kicking off the forum and introducing the speakers.
Welcome to our forum. My name is Amanda Gallegos, and I'm an intern at the Southwest Organizing Project. Today we're here to talk about the school-to-prison pipeline. The school-to-prison pipeline refers to the policies and practices that push our nation's school children, especially those who already face barriers, out of classrooms and into the juvenile and criminal justice systems, also sometimes called the cradle-to-prison pipeline. There is no one thing that pushes students out of schools and into the system, but rather there exist many institutionalized problems that create this larger picture. The goal of today's forum is to have youth share stories about how this has impacted their lives, but also begin to take steps to work towards creating positive solutions to change this trend. Next, we are going to allow time for the first of our two speakers, and they're going to be sharing their personal stories of how this has impacted them and why they are personally investing in creating change to ensure better outcomes for themselves and also their peers. Javier will be talking about his experience in school as someone who faced oppression and diligently worked to ultimately be the valedictorian of his class. He will share how he watched other students have different outcomes and how his story easily could have been different because of these policies that make no sense. Please join me in welcoming Javier Benzor.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Javier Benzor, and I'm a freshman here at the University of New Mexico. And currently, I am a youth intern at the Southwest Organizing Project. My story begins at a small yet overpopulated school named West Mesa High School. I always believed that high school was going to be the time for everyone to achieve success. At the beginning of high school, my peers and I were on the same playing field. All freshmen had the basic core classes, and some were perhaps in a certain sport or a club. Still, I wasn't aware that all these other students had unique background stories from the one that I had. I was raised in a way in which I learned to do as I was told. During class, if I was told to do my work, I would do it. If I was told to turn in an assignment on a certain day, I would do it. My classmates, on the other hand, did not grow up the way that I did, and so it was a lot harder for them to follow this process. As a result, they were bound to slip and do something that was considered bad in the eyes of the public education system. I saw students in my classes getting sent to detention for something as little as not having a pencil to write with. You know, I never understood the purpose of in-school suspension. I thought the purpose of school was to, well, you know, keep students in school. The concept of suspension is just outrageous. It makes no sense. By suspending a child, you're using up the time that the student could be using in class to learn. My experience with in-school suspension is one that I will never forget. It was perhaps the most boring time of my life. I was sent to ISS because I forgot my uniform for my physical education class. In there, I was asked to copy down a whole page of a dictionary. Once I was finished, the supervisor took my paper and I was dismissed. Now, I may not have missed much work in a physical education class, but what about the students that were sent to ISS during their math or English class and missing out on the lecture? I remember a time walking by the detention room and saw a line of perhaps 20 teenagers waiting their turn for an hour and a half of a waste of time. That right there is a problem. Our detention rooms are always full, but yet we wonder why students are failing English, math, or science, or all of them. I was able to manage from ever spending another day in detention because I knew that it was just a waste of time. But what if it had turned out differently? What if I had fallen into the vicious cycle created by zero tolerance policies? We cannot expect students to succeed when they are constantly being labeled as criminals. The only thing that zero tolerance policies are doing is setting up kids for failure. What we need is to keep our youth in school. Let our youth have a voice when it comes to decision making. Our youth are not broken and they do not need to be fixed. Our youth need to be heard. Our youth are the solution and not the problem. Thank you.
Our next speaker has attended 5 different schools in Albuquerque in less than 3 years. Many of these schools have made it impossible for him to be successful and overcome the stigma that he's earned as someone who is labeled as a problem student. His story will help us to see how positive programs that give students a voice can act as a preventative measure. Please join me in welcoming Josh Cisneros.
Hi, everybody. My name is Josh. I'm an intern with SWAP, the Southwest Organizing Project. I have been in 5 different schools in the past 3 years. In school, it was always hard for me to learn because I have a learning disability. And on top of that, it's even harder when I have to deal with my personal life. And that formed extreme anxiety and bipolar disorder. And because of those things, I got in trouble with the law a lot. So instead of helping me, they punished me. One day in school, I was accused for hitting the teacher in the face with the rubber band when it wasn't even me. I got punished for it and I couldn't prove my innocence. They labeled me as a bad kid after that. So my label followed me to my next school. And at my next school, I wasn't even given a chance. So at my next school after that, I was in class and my teacher told me that I was wearing too much cologne. And I guess because you're wearing too much cologne, you're either high or trying to hide something. So now, again, they still did not try to help me after that. They just try to make it harder for me. Even if it's hard enough, they're still going to label me a bad kid no matter what, because all of the stuff I have done in my past. And people that drop out are most likely to go to jail and end up in and out of jail their whole lives. I don't want that for me. I am more than my label. That is why I joined with SWAP, the Southwest Organizing Project. When I joined with SWAP, they showed me that I could be a better person in life and that people do care about me. They showed me a different way to go, that no matter that schools label me at different schools, I could still do it, that I don't have to drop out, that we just need to find better ways to work with our young people. Thank you.
Yeah, let's have another round of applause for Josh. That was awesome. So thank you very much, Javier and Josh, for sharing your stories. It's really important that you do share your stories. And every person's story is unique. And the challenge with the school-to-prison pipeline is that it exists so differently for every student. This is why sometimes there's so much misunderstanding about how and why the pipeline exists.
Instead of punishing these students for things they have no power to control, school administrators should work towards helping them to achieve.
Exactly. Students may be having problems outside of school, and they need to be supported, not punished.
Special thanks to Javier Vanzor and Joshua Cisneros for sharing their stories with the entire forum.
Up next is a song called New Mexico by local artist Wake Self.
Thank you. Mexico.
On a recently held school-to-prison pipeline forum, after a few hours of discussion, young leaders brainstormed solutions, which they presented to the entire forum.
There were different discussion topics, including zero-tolerance policies in schools, suspension and expulsion, truancy, school police and security, racial inequalities, student rights violations, and standardized testing.
Now back to the event's mistress of ceremonies, Amanda Gallegos, to introduce each group and their solutions.
So now at this time, we're going to allow the groups to report back on what they discussed and the solutions that they came up with. We're going to start with zero tolerance policies.
I think there was an example of students that had gum chewing as zero tolerance, and they were sent to suspension. And first of all, problem kids shouldn't be excluded or expelled. Just because you're chewing gum 5 days in a row, you're expelled. I think that you have to do things on a case-to-case basis. What you're talking about is having weapons, drugs, that would be something that's expelling students for. And working on why they're bringing these weapons to school also. I think there should be some kind of intervention. More gatherings, meetings between the teachers and families. Not just on parent night, but different gatherings like middle school, the math teachers all get together and have a basketball tournament with the students' parents so that the parents get to know the teachers on a different level of they're not just my kid's teacher. Enforcing community school collaborations to address all the problems that may affect the students and family. Changing school board and its message about policy. Amend law to allow students to vote in APS elections. I think that was something that was real important. And the question was, what age should students be voting if they were allowed to vote for school board? And I think that, you know, all of us agree that there needs to be changes. And again, that zero tolerance wording is important. Get rid of it.
All right. Thank you very much. Next, can we have suspension and expulsion?
Hi, everybody. My name is Marcos. Talked about the topic suspension and expulsion. You know, these are our solutions. One of our solutions was cultural relevant teaching. What I mean by having cultural relevant teaching is that, you know, for Hispanics, you know, they should teach culture at school. You know, I know U.S. history is important as well, you know, but it really wouldn't help me as much in the future. Another one of our solutions was safe and supportive schools. A lot of students aren't supported. From my experience, you know, I've been kicked out of class. I've been disrespected in class as well, you know, and some of these teachers don't support me because of the way I look. They don't even support me in my education, you know, they don't motivate me or anything like that, you know. Teachers, they don't really consider us as equals from my point of view. How I see it, they just do it as their jobs, you know. Sometimes it's not even safe being at school, you know. If schools were safer and more supportive, you know, it would help a lot in the suspending and expulsion. Another thing was if you're suspended, you should be suspended in school and do something productive, you know, at least like learn something. Because some of them see it as a reward getting suspended. They don't really realize that it's damaging them, you know, they're being deprived from their education. You know? If you come from a bad background of, you know, having bad experiences, you know, maybe you could help out someone younger than you. And we don't like to say mentor. What we mean by mentor is like somebody like as a friend, you know. Help out someone younger, you know, and, you know, say if you've been through it, you know, you could tell them and you could help them and talk to them, you know, so they won't go the same path you did.
All right. Let's have the student rights violations group up next.
Not in any specific order, but we talked about school staff and school populations not really matching. Their cultures don't really match. So the more we can train staff to understand that maybe they're projecting things onto kids that aren't really there and maybe they're not understanding cultures, that, as a young man just said, and it's an ongoing thing. It's not like you get 3 weeks and then you're good. It's like until the staff and the students match, it should be all the time. More access to after-school funding, more access and funding for after-school extracurricular activities. That was one of the rights in the bill that said that students should have access to that. Resources for bilingual families to be able to access everything at school. Encourage community-based schools and expand the role of schools in the community. educate students about their rights, which are not the same inside and outside the school. So maybe help them in both places, like you have certain rights here, and when you come in the school, you lose some of them, but here's how you can protect what's left. And then when there is a discipline process, have students more involved in what constitutes a violation and what's an appropriate punishment or way of handling it. And just more resources in terms of mental health and addiction and the other issues that kids might have that they can find at school instead of just running out of options and acting out.
So next, let's have the truancy group.
So we had a good conversation about some of the different causes of truancy, some of the different reasons students end up missing school. A lot had to do with not feeling like they had strong relationships with the adults at the school, not feeling like they were noticed if they were there or not, falling behind and not feeling like it was possible to get caught up. We talked about the idea of having students come to teachers' professional development and actually talk about their experiences in school and what they wish was different. And we wanted to be clear, this is not to be the student council students. These are students who are having a hard time coming and talking directly to teachers during professional development. We talked about for just needing to find ways for students who are falling behind to get caught up. So one idea was to provide some sort of bonus or incentive for teachers to do teaching and tutoring over breaks or maybe over the weekend, during times that they could provide extra individual support for students who are missing a lot of class. Improve data systems to help identify students who need support. So improve the, make it more possible for school staff to find out very quickly how many days a student has missed and really try to then intervene and reach out to those students. Freedom of expression for students. The idea is giving students ways to express the things going on in their lives that are making it hard for them to come to school. So through art, through music, that sort of thing. Small learning communities and opportunities to build relationships between teacher and student. We were trying to get at, okay, how do we create environments where that engagement and those relationships can happen.
Next, let's have the group that discussed security and policing.
One of the main things I think that came out of school security was that, in particular, APS has multiple different police agencies inside the schools. It's not just one. They have APS police, they have like security, and then they have APD officers, and that those officers are able to carry guns. It's like kind of like a weird accountability type thing that happens when it comes to the school police, because who gets to decide? Is it like the principals? Is it the security? Is it the police? It's like who gets to like make those ultimate decisions, and it creates like a lot of problems. And so our first one is more accountability and training for the different police security that are in the schools, whatever the agencies are, and making sure that they're all interconnecting so that they have like one set of systems about who gets to decide who does like what. The next one was having guns out of schools, period. School is not a place for guns, it's a place for learning. And so when a cop carries the guns, it not only stigmatizes young people and creates an idea that they have to like live in fear that gun might need to be used sometime on campus, but it's just like it's a waste of resources, and we could be doing other stuff besides carrying guns when we're on campus. And then we said there needs to be prevention and intervention programs that are ran by APS police to identify the mental, emotional, and physical health needs for young people. So like the police, instead of policing or arresting kids, they shouldn't be doing that. They should be figuring out like how they could best support them.
Part of what we're talking about here is also the criminalization of discipline, which you bring in the police instead of taking care of it on your own. And the minute you bring in the police, it escalates, as we've seen with APD all over the city. Dialogue with students. They know what's going on. Let them have their input so that we can start fixing the problems.
Let's have the group that discussed testing.
So actually have teachers write the test, because the people who write the test are completely irrelevant to what we're doing.
To be serious, the people that write the tests weren't teachers at all, so they don't know what it's like to be in a classroom. They don't know what it's like to like interact with the students and how the students actually learn. So it's kind of like they're just throwing questions on a paper to give to students.
And I also believe that they should have like alternative testing methods rather than just like having one super long end of course exam.
Next one is we should have a box that we can check, and it says that have not learned yet, because some of the teachers, like, they'll tell you before you even take the test that some things in the test we haven't went over or you haven't learned yet.
You don't know everything on the test, so that's how a lot of people, that's why I think a lot of students fail on the test. And when they tell you that you're not going to know a lot of things, the attitude that the students give, like the reaction, is just that, well, if I'm not going to know it, then why should I try? So that's why a lot of students pretty much guess on the test, because they know that they're probably not going to know it.
And also, I believe that they should, like, individualize tests. So rather than just, like, somebody doesn't know something, instead of just giving everybody the same test.
When you take the pretest in August or whenever you take the pretest in the beginning of the year, the teacher will see the test and they'll see what you know and what you don't know. So they should have an entire school year to put tests together so they would suit that student. And they have an entire year to get to know the student so they know what they would put on their EOC or their end of course exam.
We actually have one more group, and that would be the racial inequalities group.
Hi, I'm Karina. So some of our solutions were cultural education for everyone, and it is an antidote to racism. Access to basic educational resources in different languages within the community. Bilingual students obviously suffer a lot because we don't have enough resources for them. Creating jobs, hiring translators.
I'm going to interject something here very quickly. But one of the high schools in particular, Highland High School, there are 37 languages spoken. Just extrapolate that out to the community. A lot of those folks who might have been advocates for their children can't be because they don't have the ability to communicate. So what happens is that there's this assumption that their children are being taken care of, and they may not be.
So let's teach them to represent themselves. Back and forth respect and access to systemic racism and test reform.
Testing reform. What that really, I think, means is, and some of the conversation around that was, you know, testing itself is racist because it not only brings up the fact that some of that knowledge base is really white centric. And then the other part is that testing is really a method of getting money to the folks who already have money. And New Mexico spends, I think, is $1.2 billion on tests. Never mind the time that's wasted preparing and then testing folks. Multiply that times 50 states, times whatever, and you can see why people want tests. And if people mess up on tests, so much the better. You know, we get to test them again. The teachers that are in the room know this, and we need to make sure that parents mobilize to make sure the tests don't become more important than the students.
What stood out to me was how seemingly unrelated policies actually reinforce one another.
They are all connected, so it's not surprising to hear that multiple groups had similar solutions. They all contribute to the school-to-prison pipeline.
We will hear more from the youth later tonight, but first, here's a song called God's Whisper by Rory.
Generation Justice had the opportunity to interview youth about what they learned from the School to Prison Pipeline Forum.
The participants shared their own stories and how they are related to the forum. Here are those interviews.
My name is Javier Benzor. I am a freshman here at the University of New Mexico, and I am a youth intern with the Southwest Organizing Project.
My name is Marcos Navarro. I am 16 years old. I attend Atrisco Heritage Academy, and I am a junior.
My name is Amanda Gallegos. I'm 16 years old, and I go to Central New Mexico Community College.
My name is Vera Ugalde. I am 15 years old, and I go to Atrisco Heritage Academy.
Hi, my name is Josh. I am 16, and I am with SWAT.
My name is Cesar Gonzalez. I'm 17. And I go to Downordi.
My name is Emma Sandoval. I'm the Youth and Families Organizer with the Southwest Organizing Project. I'm 27 years old, and I have a son who is 5 years old.
It was important for me to be here for the forum today because I was giving a speech for everybody about my experience with the School to Prison Pipeline. While I haven't been
a victim, I guess you could say, of it. I've seen many of my friends fall into the vicious cycle of being criminalized and penalized for minimal offenses. And it's affecting so many of our teenagers nowadays, and it's getting in the way of their education.
It was important because I feel that the youth should have more insight on what's going around in their community.
It was very important for me as a student of Albuquerque, of APS schools, to know more of what I can do in my community to change it, and how I can make a change in my partners in schools, and how to have other choices.
I think it was important because I got to hear other people's perspectives about the whole prison and high school pipeline. I got to see what they thought about, and you know, what I like is that, you know, they got to hear what I thought.
Well, I think since the very beginning of this campaign, it's felt very important to me, just because a lot of my cousins and family are in the system, and I could have ended up in the system just as easily, but I didn't, so I should be trying to do for the people who are and trying to change that.
It was important for me because I know that there's a lot of problems in the youth community, so I'd always be happy to come around and listen so then I could tell my friends, help them, and it'll also help me.
Today was more for us an opportunity to be able to have that dialogue between youth, parents, and other community members about what are positive, proactive solutions to working with our young people rather than criminalizing them or punishing them.
I had my pant leg up, and they said that it was like gang affiliated because my socks were red, and that I had my hoodie on, so they said that they assumed that I was gang affiliated.
See, there's a whole thing with labels nowadays. There's a lot of students that have been labeled as bad kids.
I feel like some kids are targeted the way they dress or they look or the way they talk.
I'm labeled as a bad kid because of my past. They see it as, well, this kid's gotten suspended from a lot of schools. He's always in and out of different schools. So basically, they label me as this troublemaker kid that doesn't do anything right and that will never succeed in school.
I actually go to a zero tolerance school, so I really face that day to day. And I actually see a lot of rules that are being broken, supposedly, but these rules are outrageous.
I dropped out of school when I was 16 years old, and I was a sophomore in high school, and I know what it feels like to be pushed out of schools, and I know that there's a lot of unfair policies. But that doesn't make me any less of a person, any different of a person. I'm still pursuing my education, and I'm currently in college, so I would just not want to shame anybody who did drop out or anything like that.
The rhetoric right now is that young people are up to no good. They are thugs and criminals, and I think that that was the biggest motivation for why we chose to do this forum, was because we wanted to reframe the ideology that young people don't care and that youth are the problem, because in reality, youth are the solution.
Youth need to be, you know, heard, engaged, and for once, really be paid attention to, because a lot of people want to make decisions for our youth, and that's a terrible thing to do when you're not asking the youth, what do you want? You know, what solutions do you want to see? Because if you're holding their hand and saying, this is what you're going to do, that's a terrible idea, because if youth aren't going to like it, then they're not going to be interested in it. And if they're not going to be interested in it and forced to do it, then they're going to do terrible at it. It's common sense.
Out of today's forum, we heard a lot of positive, proactive solutions. And I think they've been echoed over and over again by young people. And some of those that I thought were most important were culturally relevant curriculum.
Cultural relevant learning.
Teaching people about their cultures. Say if you're Hispanic, they'll teach you about your Hispanic cultures and where you came from.
You know, they wouldn't target students such in like gangs or colors or, you know, or races. You know, they wouldn't label them by that, and you know, they wouldn't like focus on suspending them.
Young people feel like they're able to engage with their community, they're able to engage with their education, and so that they engage enough to like want to stay and be there regardless of whatever circumstances prevent them.
So many people said so many solutions that I would have never thought of. Taking guns out of school, it's setting a terrible example for children, and why should somebody be armed in a school in the first place? What are you going to protect us against? Why is there something out there that we want to be protected from?
Some of the other solutions that I think came out of it were that youth need to have voice and input within the decision-making processes that affect their lives. that young people need to be at the table as well as parents and other community members.
Instead of referring teenagers to police agencies when they get in trouble, what about like service agencies where they can get involved, tackle issues, for example, like if they're caught with drug possession or drug use or any of that sort, instead of reporting them to the police, why not have an intervention and try to solve that issue so that way they can save them from potentially having an overdose in the future, instead of just criminalizing them and saying, you're a criminal, you're gonna be terrible, you're gonna go to jail.
You know the system needs changing when students are criminalized for not following something as juvenile as a dress code.
I agree. And in order to fix the system, I think it's important to hear from the students themselves.
Now here's a song by Aloe Black. It's called Love is the Answer.
We want to give thanks to all of our participants who spoke about the flaws in New Mexico schools, as well as the solutions to these problems, and especially all of the youth participants for taking action to change their educational environments.
Thanks to SWAP, the Men of Color Alliance, and the Media Arts Collaborative Charter School for helping coordinate this important event.
We also want to thank Amanda Gallegos, Santiago Gonzalez, Beta Ugalde, Joshua Cisneros,
Javier Vanzor, Marcos Navarro, Fernando Barros, Deshaun Somers, and Emma Sandoval for talking with us. And a great big thank you to Generation Justice Fellows Chantel Trujillo and Christina Rodriguez for conducting the interviews.
This show is produced by Chantel Trujillo, Roberta Rayel, George Luna Pena, and Melissa Harris.
Big thanks to Carson Lafferty, Chantel Trujillo, Christina Rodriguez, and Alden Bruce for editing the show tonight. Also, thank you to Kamaria Umi for engineering.
Much appreciation to all of our youth media makers here at Generation Justice. We wouldn't be able to do what we do without all of your support.
Stay connected with us. Check out our website, generationjustice.org, where you can listen to all of our past shows, see music playlists, read blogs, watch videos, and much, much more.
We're also active on social media. So please like us on Facebook by searching for Generation Justice. Like our pics on Instagram at Generation Justice and follow us on Twitter at Gen Justice. Don't miss our Twitter chat on Wednesday, September 17th at 12 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Generation Justice, along with Everyday Democracy, is hosting a national Twitter chat on mental health. Make sure to watch our video when the mask comes off on our website, generationjustice.org. Join the chat by tweeting the hashtag MHVideo.
Generation Justice is funded by the W.K. Kellogg Foundation, with additional funding from the McCune Foundation, and of course, all of you who have contributed to our project by visiting our website and clicking the donate button. I'm your host, Danny Kessner.
And I'm your other host, Christina Rodriguez. We'll end the show with a few closing songs. Up next on KUNM is Spoken Word.
We'll see you next Sunday at 7 o'clock. Until then, stay beautiful.
So public, there's no privacy. If I don't talk about it, then I carry a date at 08.